Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
That was loud, man. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Man, thank you, Amanda. Wasn't that awesome? Amanda and I have done women's retreats together and stuff, and she's come for women's events. And, you know, when I have a special worship leader come in, I never tell them what I'm preaching because I like the Holy Spirit to do the Holy Spirit's job and do His work and stuff. And so as we're going, as she's singing these songs tonight, I'm just like weeping. I'm like, I couldn't have picked better songs for my sermon. Seriously, I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's so awesome. God, You're so wonderful. I just love You so much. Amen. Amen. So, before I get into my sermon, this next season that we're coming into, the Lord had just spoke to me, and that we need to be moving boldly in faith. This is what the Lord said. He said, we need to stop praying with a doubtful hope, and we need to start praying expecting that God's going to do great things. Okay, that was the word I kept getting, was that we need to expect great and mighty things from God. And the reason we haven't been receiving these things is because we're not expecting them. We've lost sight of a powerful and mighty God. This is the God that we serve. He wants us to expect miracles, and He wants us to expect that He's going to move in a great and mighty way, not only within the church, but in individual lives as well, okay? This is for the church, but for individuals as well. We need to expect that God is going to do great and mighty things. Amen. Thank you, sister. So in November was a kind of a really rough month for me. So some of y'all know that I had surgery. I had some non-cancerous tumors removed from some female parts. And there was a time, you know, Pastor Matt and I didn't really know what was going on, or what, you know, it was kind of a scary time and stuff. And through my process of going through that and then coming out of it, I expected that I was just going to, you know, jump back up and be healed immediately and start walking. Well, I'm 42 almost, not 22 anymore. And so it took me longer to get back on my feet than I expected. And so I kind of got depressed for a while. And I in the past, I've really struggled with anxiety really bad. And so some of y'all know that, and I've shared that before, that I have real bad panic attacks and I have anxiety. And about probably 7 years ago, the doctor had put me on Paxil, and it didn't go well with my body at all. And so when I got off of Paxil, I had 4% of people have these horrible, horrible withdrawal symptoms, okay, like coming off of heroin. And so I went through that at that time. And then something happened with the Paxil, and if anyone's on Paxil, I'll say it's not a really good thing, okay, just so you know. It didn't work well with me. And so, and Pastor Matt knows this, that there's occasionally, and those symptoms will come back on my body. And it's not just a night, but it will be weeks and weeks and weeks on end, and I'll get really bad headaches, and I'll get paresthesia in my hands and my feet, and I don't sleep good. I have anxiety and all this sort of stuff. And well, this was the month of November for me, and it was really rough. I had a hard time through that. He knows. He's bad. He said, I know. It was a rough month for us, yes, because my husband goes through it with me, you know. And so on one of these nights, I was having really, really bad, I was having chest pains and I couldn't sleep and I was sweating really bad, and I start crying out to God. I started crying out to the Holy Spirit. I'm just crying and crying out to him. And the Holy Spirit all of a sudden took me into Exodus and took me to the Red Sea. And he said, walk through that crystal. And as I was walking through it, the Lord said, look up. And I looked up and there's like water all around me, but being held off. And he said, do you trust that I will hold back the water? Do you trust me to hold back the water? That's the name of my sermon tonight is, do you trust him to hold back the water? We need to trust God that he will hold back the water. I'm going to be in Exodus tonight. There's some in Exodus chapter 12. Let's start in verse 29. And it says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon. And Pharaoh rose up the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get forth from among my people, you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks, take your herds, be gone. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land. For they said, we are dead men. And so the people took their dough before it was leavened, and they bound their clothes on their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So here we have God hearing the cries of his people. And if you remember the story in Exodus, this is the story where Moses goes before Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And so Pharaoh does not let the people go. And so God sends plagues. Well, the last plague that God sent was that the firstborn son would die. And so God had told the Israelites to put lamb's blood over their doorpost, and this would pass over them. This is why this time is called the Passover. So this was the Passover when the spirit of death passed over the children of Israel, and they all lived. And Pharaoh said, you can go. Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, well, you get out of here now. Get out of here. I want you out of here. God had heard the people's cries for them to come up out of Egypt. This Passover symbolizes the atonement of the blood of Christ applied to our lives. That's what this symbolized here. So if y'all didn't know that, this was symbolic of the time when Jesus would come and he would shed his blood for us. And when we apply that blood of Christ to our life, then that death passes us over and we get to be with Jesus forever. See, Egypt was not the Israelites' home. He had something infinitely better for them. God has done great things in delivering us from bondage. But if we are not willing to leave, we will never experience what he has for us. Just as the children of Israel were said, get up out of Egypt now. God has said, okay, I have done great things for you. Now it's time to go. Okay? We cannot get too comfortable in this world. We start planting our roots. We start planting our roots here, forgetting that this is not our home. Right? The Israelites had spent so long in Egypt, they made it their home. And so we spend so much time on this earth, we get here, we get comfortable, and God comes and he does a big thing and he sets you free, but we've set these roots, right? And we don't want to leave when God tells us to leave. When he says, get up out of Egypt, we're comfortable. We want to stay. We get comfortable. We've planted roots. We have to remember that this world is not our home. We need to live with that mindset, folks. that this world is not our home, because the rest of this is predicated on saying this world is not our home. We have to live with that mindset every day. Now, does this mean that you just need to go and sell everything and wait on the side of the road for Jesus to return? No. Okay. Sometimes you got to say these things. People are like, all right, this world's not my home. I'm going tonight. Well, we still got to wait. Okay. We still got to wait on him. But we need to switch that mindset that says this world is not our home. If God has brought us out of something, we don't need to return to it. Okay. And I'm not just talking about sin, because we use that for sin all the time. Don't return to the sin that God has brought you out of. Well, sometimes it's a place. Don't return to that place God has brought you out of. Sometimes it's a mindset. Don't return to that mindset that God has brought you out of. Sometimes it's a circumstance. Don't return to that circumstance that God has brought you out of. Amen? Now some of y'all might know this. I don't know. I'm from Texas. And I love Texas and I love heat. Okay? So I moved up here in 2001 and I hated it. I really struggled up here. And even knowing that God called us up here, I struggled being up here. And I always lived with this mindset of, okay, we'll start a church and God will call us back to Texas. We'll go back to Texas. I my mindset never left Texas. It never left San Antonio. I longed for San Antonio. I wanted to go back to San Antonio. My family was down there. My friends were down there. I lived with this, man, so I could never fully get comfortable here because I had this mindset that I'm supposed to be in Texas. Even though Pastor Matt and I had planted this church, and I'm like, well, we're doing this work for now, but I'm still we'll be going back to Texas someday, and it's going to be warm, and I'm going to be tan, and my hair will be blonde all the time, and like all these things that you think about. And so, at least I think about. And so back in 2010, I went, Matt sent me home for my 20-year class reunion, and it was the first time I'd been back since about 2001, really. So 9 years, I had not been back to San Antonio. And so I went back. I'm driving around, man, it's so nice, and it's warm, and I'm looking at all this stuff, and God opened my spiritual eyes, and he said, this is not for you. Don't go back from where I brought you out of. And you need to get out of that mindset that you're going to go back to that place. And so I called Matt. I was like, I'm going to come home now, please. He knows I called him and I was crying. And I was like, I want to come home. I want to come home. God said, that's not for you anymore. And he really showed me that he had taken me out of there. And I wasn't to go back to there. It was done. That part of my life was done. Amen. When God brings you out of Egypt, don't go back. We need to take the path that God is leading us down. Look in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. It says, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. See, we can't see the big picture. What the Israelites didn't know is that God was taking them past the Egyptian system of border posts, through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, where they avoided the main military and trade routes leading across the northern Sinai. So when I was looking at a map of Egypt, so here's Egypt. Can you see me? Egypt is over here. And the Red Sea goes down like this. It makes like a V, like this. Now, from where they were, they could have easily went to the upper part of the Red Sea and passed over. But all this area of the northern Sinai was the trade and military routes. And if God would have led them that way, he said, they're going to see military and they're going to get afraid and run back to Egypt. So I'm going to take them through the Red Sea. We can't see the big picture. We can't see everything, but God can. He knows. The Israelites didn't know this stuff, but God knew. And so God purposely led them down the path to the Red Sea. See, we can make our own plans, and that's good to an extent, but we need to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and alter our plans if need be. I will tell you, when I was going to college, my whole identity was always tied up in what my grades, okay? I had a 3.98 in high school. I would have had a 4.0 except for I really messed around my freshman year. So freshmen, don't do that. When I went to college, I had a 4.0 in college, and I was in who's who of colleges. Like, I really prided myself on this stuff, okay, guys? It was tied up in my identity. And so when I was going to college, and my grandmother at that time, was still alive, sorry. She passed away at that time. And I didn't really know what I was going to do or anything. And so I went out and I got this job, and I was going to school full time. And I was still going down this path, and I said, you know, I was going to be a physical therapist. I had already done all my volunteer hours in physical therapy. I had applied to the UT Health Science Center. I had taken the tests I needed to do. I had done all this work. And so I was working at a tanning salon. And some of y'all know the story. I was working at a tanning salon while I was going to school, and I was so focused. This was what I was going to do with my life. I wasn't messing around. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to quit school. And I was like, uh-uh. I ain't quitting school. You're crazy, God. I ain't quitting school. And for 2 weeks, literally, talk about wrestling with God. I wrestled with God. I couldn't sleep. He would not leave me alone. He said, you need to quit school. You need to quit school. You better quit school. You're going to quit school. And I'm like, I'm not going to quit school, God. No. And I can tell you, I remember when I withdrew all my classes because I had signed up for classes. There was enough time to withdraw from my classes. I withdrew from classes. I was in church on a Wednesday night, and I was sitting on the front row, and I was literally just sitting like this. And Pastor Chance comes over, and he's like, Crystal? Because he's from Texas. He said, are you okay? And I said, Pastor Chance, I said, I can't explain it. I said, I have so much peace. I feel joyful. I said, but I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life. I said, I dropped my classes today because the Holy Spirit told me to, and I'm lost now. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And literally, it was less than 2 weeks later when I met that man. And if I had not dropped my classes, I would never have met him. I wouldn't have, because I would have been in school. And it altered my whole life. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and you got to let him lead you where he wants to lead you. God's path is perfect. Ours is not. Here's a little thing. Here's a little hint for you, okay? God will let you have your way, but if we are not in his will, we will be miserable. Amen. I want to show you this in Jeremiah. This is good stuff, too. Jeremiah 42, starting in verse 7. So the people asked Jeremiah to pray the Lord for them about a situation, okay? So verse 7 says, after it came to pass, after 10 days, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, And he called Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord. Anytime you hear that, you should probably listen. The God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. He says, if you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repented me of the evil that I have done unto you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you were afraid. Do not be afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But, verse 13, if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, we will go into the land of Egypt, where we will not see war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, or have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. See, because they were looking at their circumstances. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you in the land of Egypt, and the famine where you were afraid shall follow close after you, and there you shall die. So the Israelites feared the Babylonians, and so they were seeking God's will from Jeremiah. And God's answer was for them to abide in the land, and he would protect them. Right? They sought him, and he said, stay in the land, and I will protect you from the Babylonians, because they were afraid, right? There was war, there was famine, there was these things going on. And so the Lord says, stay, and I will protect you. But they rejected the message from the Lord, and they escaped into Egypt because they thought they would be safer. They thought their plan was better than God's plan. Hello? And they suffered severely in Egypt. God's plan is always better. It's always perfect, yes. Do not listen to others, even well-meaning Christians, that are telling you something opposite than what the Lord is telling you. I have to say that again. I don't care who tells you what. If it's opposite of what God is telling you, you obey God. We can't look at our circumstances. We have to obey God. Listen and obey him. Ask yourself this. Are you willing to take the road less traveled? Are you willing to take the road less traveled? Next, we have to believe that God will make a way, and then we have to step out in faith. Exodus 14, starting in verse 9, it says, but the Egyptians pursued after them, the Israelites, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, overtook them encamping by the sea. And when Pharaoh came near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? So they're grumbling a little bit here. Why have you dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. But Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Israelites here, they were trapped between the Red Sea and the fast approaching Pharaoh's army, and they began to grumble. So thinking about being in that position, right? And maybe it's your life right now. Maybe you're standing at this big barrier. There's a barrier in front of you, right? A sea. A sea. It's huge. And the enemy is fast approaching behind you. Fast approaching behind you. Do you think that God saw the Red Sea as a barrier? We're human. I'm sure if I was there too, I'd be like, ah! Do you think God saw the Red Sea as a barrier? We look at the natural, but God is not bound by anything natural in this world. Remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree? They were astounded. No more figs grow on it. It shriveled up and died. God has control over all the elements. He's not bound. Fear is crippling. What is the first thing that Moses said? Do not fear. There's a reason they call fear crippling. Because some of you get so afraid or fearful, you can't move. You can't move. And so the first thing Moses said is, do not fear. God doesn't see this as a barrier. This is not a barrier. Look at Isaiah 43. I love this scripture. Starting verse 1, but now, thus says the Lord that created you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Amen. Neither shall the flame stay upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom. Hello? During this same night that God spoke to me about holding back the waters, he spoke to me something else. And you remember the story of Mary and Lazarus. And Lazarus dies. And Jesus comes into town and Mary runs to him and said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And we get this mindset, Lord, if you'd only been here. And we get this mindset that we are here and he's up here. And we're like, Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd only been here, this had never happened to me. And God says, do you not think that this has been under my control the whole time? Amen. Is there anything that happens that I don't know about? This is what he said to me. Is there anything in our lives that he doesn't have control over, that he doesn't know about? Perhaps he's allowing you to walk through it, but he knows about it. It's under his control at all times. Hello? It's under his control at all times. At no time is it out of God's hand. At no time is it out of his control. At no time is it out of his authority. Matthew 28:20, and he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." This mindset of he's up here and I'm down here, he's with us. Not only with us, he's in us. He's in us, walking with us, walking through it with us. And how many of y'all know when I was laying there in my bed and I was crying out to God, all of a sudden peace came upon me. And I was like, what am I worried about? Why am I fretting? Why am I crying? God has this. It's never been out of his control. It's never not without his authority. I'm his child. I'm a child of the Most High God. He knows. He cares. He's got it under control. And if he's allowing it to continue, there's a reason. Mainly it's for us. No matter what our condition, weak, poor, humble, if you view yourself unimportant, he cares for you. He watches with concern over every detail of life's trials and struggles, and he gives both the grace that is sufficient and his presence to lead us home. This is our hope. This is our hope. This is the answer to every fear, every doubt, every trouble, every heartache, every discouragement. This is the answer. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end. At no time is it not under his control. Do you think the Israelites in by the Red Sea, God was like, well, you guys are... At no time. He knew what he was doing. There is no barrier too great for God. Are you kidding me? A Red Sea? The God that made the sea? You don't think he can part the sea? So now you've got to trust that God will hold back the water for you to walk through. Look in verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and the horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them. Woo! And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. What kind of faith do you think it takes to walk through a wall of water? You know, I think sometimes we read the stories like, oh, it's beautiful, they walk through it. Folks, a wall of water. A wall of water. They stepped out in faith along this crazy path that God made, but it's a long way across and the enemy's fast approaching. How many of y'all feel like that? It's a long way across and the enemy's fast approaching. You have to trust that God's going to hold that water till you're safely across. We have to trust that he's going to hold back the water till we're safely across. Imagine that. Walking through and the water's piled high on the sides. And you're walking through. And this is a God that just smote all the firstborn in Egypt. So there was a fear. Is he going to hold it for me? Is he going to hold it for me? Do you believe it? You got to know that he's going to hold back the water for you. For you. This is the God that we serve. The God who caused the sun to stand still. These are not stories, folks. This is a history book. The God who caused the sun to stand still. The God who held back the waters of the Red Sea. This is our God. He is great and mighty. Love that song. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is he. Right? Come on. We serve a great and mighty God. Not only does God hold the water back, but he frustrates the enemy. Woo! That's some good stuff right there. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited. I was getting excited when I was writing this. Because the Lord speak to me as I was writing this. Not only, Crystal, will I hold back the water, but I'll frustrate the enemy for you. Amen. Until you're safely on the other side. Man, you should get excited about that. Exodus 14:31, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Finally, they believed him. What's it going to take, right? When are we going to start fully trusting him? Fully trusting God. To take you by the path of the Red Sea. To take you through the water. When the enemy's fast approaching. So I think we quote scripture. Maybe we speak in tongues, have others pray for us. But we still doubt that God will do what he said he would do. I know it's true because I do sometimes myself. You know, I got great faith in some areas, but other areas, I'm like, oh, he wants to do this. Maybe it's just me, okay? Okay, I don't know. I have great faith for other people when it comes to things for myself. That's where I lack. Man, I'll pray the waters for you. Part Jesus' name. You're going to walk through and go, sister, go, brother, you can do it. God's on your side. When it comes to me, I'm like, oh. We got to know for ourselves, right? Amen. Folks, we serve a great and mighty God that wants to do great and mighty things in your life. You are here for a reason. And God has a plan and purpose for your life. If you will allow him to lead you. We need to expect that he's going to do great and mighty things in our lives. We need to start expecting miracles. We need to expect it, folks. Not just pray, oh, well, I hope, you know, I hope I get a red Ferrari for Christmas. Good luck with that one. Maybe if it's, not this big. This is the kind of hope that we bring towards God, folks. This is not our hope. We serve a great, big, mighty God. We need to expect him to answer. This is what he said. Crazy, audacious prayers. He wants you praying crazy, audacious prayers and expect them to be answered. Expect them to be answered. God is longing to show himself strong on your behalf. He longs to show himself strong on your behalf. Amen? I want, I'm done here, but I want everybody to stand up because, you know, this is what God said tonight. If you will lift your hands and surrender, God said, I am imparting more faith into people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to have Amanda come up and do a thing, but man, just surrender completely to him. And the Holy Spirit says he's going to impart more faith. Hallelujah. Woo, there it comes. Oh. Lord, we are believing you, God, for more faith, God. God, I pray tonight, Father, that we have a new revelation of who you are and what you can do, God. I pray tonight, God, that we would start praying those crazy, bold, audacious prayers, God. Father, I pray tonight, God, for the faith that will speak to a mountain and it will be moved. Father, that we no longer walk in doubt. Lord, we no longer walk in fear, Lord. That we walk in the faith and the power that you have called us to. God, that we walk it out, God. I pray for those that have been off your path, God, they get back on your path tonight. Lord, and even if it takes them by the Red Sea, God, that you will open it up to them, Father. And they will walk through on dry land, God. I come against the spirit of fear tonight. In all circumstances, God, I cast down that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. And we cast it out. We cast it out of our lives. We cast it out of our minds. In the name of Jesus Christ. All doubt must leave in his presence. We cast out doubt in Jesus' name, God. And we receive your faith anointing tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, God. And Lord, I am expecting testimonies from crazy prayers, Lord. I thank you for that Holy Spirit, God. Thank you, Lord. Minister to your people tonight, Father. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor that's due unto your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I am thanking you beforehand, God, before those things even take place, God. I'm thanking you for all the wonderful things you're doing in people's lives, Lord. We lift this up unto you, God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.